Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in today for Phil Williams. We're about to be joined by one of my favorite political prognosticators, even though that's not really what he does. He's gifted at it, y'all. He's good at it. Zach McCrary is a Democrat strategist, but when it comes to predicting elections, I'm fascinated by the way Zach looks at things. I mentioned to you earlier, he considers a lot of tangibles and intangibles, and when he's making a prediction, he didn't really care if he's predicting the Democrat or the Republican. He's just going to tell you what he thinks could happen here, what he sees. Zach, thank you for joining us, and it's been a while since we've had a chance to visit.
Yeah, Scott, so good to join you. Thanks for letting me be part of this.
Well, you know, one of the things that I mentioned to you when we were communicating back and forth about you coming on today, and I started thinking after I sent you the message and said, you know, I think we just ought to go with a way too early 2024 prediction segment. It's probably, number one, not all that early because we're going to be full blown into that in just a matter of months. But the other thing I thought, we could have spent an entire show talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly have some thoughts on it. Jump in if I'm going overboard.
No, you go. I want to hear what you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, certainly something I look at in my day job as a Democratic strategist, Democratic pollster. And, you know, there's some sometimes we call this voters have, you know, conflicts or conflicted voters. There's different streams going on,
right.
But I think we see that in the overall electorate as well. There's all sorts of evidence that this should be a change election, meaning voters are looking to change what they're getting out of Washington. And really, we've been in almost a change generation. Going back to 2006, including mm-hmm. midterms and presidential years, 8 of the last 9 elections, the party in power has either changed from in the presidential level, or one or both houses of Congress have changed. 8 of the last 9 elections starting in 2006, the only exception being the 2012 election. So you look at what's going on here now, the 70-80% think the country's going in the wrong direction. Biden's mm-hmm. approvals aren't great. They're on a good day in the low 40s. That all the elements should be there for Republicans to do really well in the presidential level, and that should trickle down behind that. But honestly, we would have made that, and I think you and I probably had some of those same discussions mm-hmm. a year ago, 2 years ago, and a lot of those same factors were in place, and the red wave that a lot of folks saw coming was a red trickle at best.
Yeah.
And I think that is certainly possible for what we could see here moving forward over the next year. Republicans should be poised for wins. And I would say there's 2 factors, and I think you look at what happened in 2022 as well as what could happen next year, and this could all be a little bit of a deja vu. I do think, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are ardent fans of former President Trump, but I do think Republicans are paying something of a Trump tax with voters. Some mm-hmm. voters who would like somebody else to be president other than Joe Biden. A lot of voters would like Republicans to nominate somebody else other than Trump. But if Republicans insist on nominating Trump, then in fact, it's not really a change election. It's not Joe Biden versus someone new. There's no change, whether Biden or Trump, because Trump is certainly part of the status quo that we've been living with for the past several years. So you have this Trump tax, and you look, certainly Trump won the 2016 election. You know, he lost the popular vote, but won the Electoral College,
right.
You know, sort of a 1 in every 100 years type situation, drew an inside straight to win the Electoral College. But since then, Trump lost in 2018. Democrats split both the House and the Senate. Trump lost a very winnable reelection in 2020. And I would say, everything else being equal, the 2022 race should be viewed as a loss for Republicans. So Republicans have lost, you know, 3 straight elections with Donald Trump being at the helm of the Republican Party. And I think that from the Democratic perspective, Democrats, the Biden folks are pretty content with the face-off between Biden and Trump versus mm-hmm. Biden and someone new. That is really where the change element could rear its head.
I would almost say the Democrats are pushing for that matchup. The ones I've seen that are vocal, they'd like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot to that. I mean, Democrats don't have a whole lot to do in the process. The Republicans are taking care of that for themselves. I mean, it is just from afar. Trump looked a little wobbly after the 22 elections. A lot of, you know, even rank and file Republicans, but especially the Republican elite, were looking to move on from Trump, including some rank and file folks after 22 saw that Trump was deserved some blame for what happened with the lack of a red wave. And then it's a little difficult for me to get my head around, but something Trump actually getting indicted multiple times seems to have pushed a lot of Republican voters back to Trump in a way that, you know, maybe doesn't make a ton of sense to me on paper, but I think that's what we've seen. And certainly the Republicans, the DeSantis, the Scotts, the Haleys, the whoever, have not made the sale, have not created any real traction with the electorate. So, you know, Trump, this is Trump's world, at least this is Trump's Republican Party. And it's hard for me to see anything shaking him out of that, which means we've got another Biden versus Trump election, mm-hmm. in which Biden beat Trump in 2020. The Trump folks lost in 2022. Largely speaking, the Trump folks lost all the way back in 2018. So from a Democratic perspective, we've beaten this guy before. We'd rather, I think, face him again than take on someone new.
Yeah, a known enemy is always better than an unknown. I want to go back to something you said earlier, Zach. That eight of the last nine elections, and we're talking for our audience's sake, we're talking national elections. Eight of the nine have been elections of change. Historically, what did we see before that string? What does history show us before that? Before it went sort of
being a change. Yeah, that's a good question.
A very good question.
I don't think we've ever seen a stretch like that before, where there's been that level of movement, where there's been that level back and forth. And it goes back to, I mentioned 2006 is the first in that in that run. And before the 2006 election, we were in the middle of the Iraq War. The Katrina happened. The economy was teetering and about to collapse in the next year or two.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, the right track, wrong track numbers, the pessimism really has never recovered since that era. And so, you know, at some level, maybe we'll never be, maybe it could be decades before we're back, you know, right side up, where most voters think the country is going in the right direction. And it's not a coincidence that political polarization has increased in that time. You know, the way people consume information has changed in that time. So I do think that there are, and the politicians certainly have a lot of to do with this, but also just the infrastructure as well. There's a lot of motivation, a lot of incentive to keep people riled up, to keep people angry, to keep people ticked off, left and right, Democrat and Republican.
Right.
And I think that feeds this distrust, this pessimism, this anger, which is often revisited on one or both of the political parties. But you know, you have this Trump issue, but I think, and Trump is a part of this other piece, but I do think Republicans, and this is, I think, a lot of what happened in 2022, you have a lot of voters not thrilled with Biden, not thrilled with the Democratic Party, very much open to something else. But Republicans nationally, I believe, have this threshold problem. Are they a serious governing party? Are they a serious governing party when there is, you know, what I would characterize as election denialism among segments of the Republican Party, where there's, you know, sort of an obsession, you know, with some of these culture war pieces in the Republican Party, as opposed to dealing with what people are grappling with day to day, you know. And
I mean, aren't we seeing that right now in the speaker election?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great example. That would have been on my list. You know, listen, if the question is, are Republicans a serious governing party? It's hard to look at what's going on in the speakership and answer affirmatively in that. I mean,
yeah.
I think today we saw the end of the Jim Jordan boomlet. It seems like it's going to be, I don't know who it's going to be, but I think we now know it's probably not going to be Kevin McCarthy. It's probably not going to be Steve Scalise, and it's probably not going to be Jim Jordan. So I think it's going to be somebody new, or maybe they just let acting Speaker Patrick McHenry stay there as the path of least resistance. But you know, I think that's an open question. And if you're one of these voters who doesn't like Trump and doesn't like Biden, there's a lot of those voters out there.
Yeah.
Those voters broke toward Democrats in the 22 election. That's why Raphael Warnock beat Herschel Walker. That's why Fetterman beat Dr. Oz and the whole gamut. And I think Republicans have a real question. You know, can they reach that the one-on-one campaign specific thing? But the Republican brand, the Democratic brand, is not perfect by any means. But I think the Republican brand has some real problems that they seem to keep getting sort of going deeper in the cave as opposed to coming up to the sun.
Going back to 2022, and you know this, I don't say this to blow your ego, but I tell people all the time, you're one of the best political prognosticators I've ever seen. And that is because you do look at a lot of tangibles, intangibles, just a lot of data. It's your job. So, you know, you've got to be able to take an honest look at it in order to do your job. But if I remember going into the 2022 midterm, one of the comments I think I remember you making was, you've already said it, everybody anticipated a red wave, but it was more like a red trickle. But I remember you saying at the time, there's really not enough turnover here for it to be a red wave. You were just simply looking at the seats that were up and saying that the numbers just aren't there for a red wave to develop. Did I imagine that, or is that not what you were saying at that time?
No, I remember that conversation and, you know, a lot of these same questions, and we've sort of seen some of the answers, or at least answered temporarily in 2022. Could Republicans reach that threshold? It certainly, as well as in terms of where the U.S. Senate is at stake. You know, I remember we talked about, you had Pennsylvania, you had Georgia, you had Arizona and Nevada, and Republicans needed to win four out of those four states. And you just looked at those individually, and Republicans had threshold problems. Republicans nominated in Pennsylvania Dr. Oz, who's a TV doctor, Turkish immigrant from New Jersey, to run for Pennsylvania, U.S.
Yeah,
Tennessee.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a ton of sense. Herschel Walker in Georgia, on paper, maybe sort of interesting, but, you know, had a ton of problems there. The Republican candidate in Arizona was just sort of a weirdo, venture capitalist, goofball type guy. And so, you know, you could just sort of see race by race, Republicans had a big problem. And I don't, you know, I'm sure everybody listening has strong opinions on the issue of abortion. But I do think the Republicans continue to be the dog that caught the car on the issue of abortion. They don't quite know what to say about it now that it's gone to the states.
Interesting
analogy. It was an issue that motivated the right for so long. Now it really motivates the left. There's been ballot measures in the last year in Kansas, Montana, Kentucky, Ohio, four very red states, various ballot measures. And the pro-choice side has won all of those, and none of them were all that close, in very red states. So Republicans, we're seeing this in real time, don't quite know how to talk about the issue of abortion now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Where should the exceptions be? What should the penalties be? And that is, I think, one of the examples here that is a struggle for Republicans. And you're thinking about those voters in the middle who have questions about both parties. If you've got one party who doesn't seem to know if they think that a woman who is raped or a victim of incest, you know, should have the right to an abortion, then that's a question mark. And so I don't say that's the only thing going on, but, you know, especially with Trump, the likely nominee, Trump is the person who appointed the Supreme Court, which rolled back Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Trump's going to have some answers on this. So these are all sticky issues, but I think Republicans, on a whole host of things, have a real challenge of working themselves out on this. And it gets a lot harder for the Republican Party to do that when you've got Trump there as the dominant figure instead of passing the torch to a new generation.
Joining us is Zach McCrary. Zach is a Democrat strategist, and he's not a political prognosticator, though I continuously refer to him as that. But he's good at it, y'all. He's good at it. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring him on and give you a chance to kind of hear his thoughts. He is accurate with almost an uncannily high percentage of getting things right. Zach, when you predict races, you, as we talked about, you're looking at so many different factors based on your experience or your professional experience as a strategist, when I make a prediction, a political prediction, it's almost purely on emotion, right? It's not like a prediction as much as it's like, this is my wish list. This is who I hope wins. So let me give you my prediction for 2024 that is purely emotional, and then tell me if there is any legitimate way for me to be right. I don't think Trump or Biden will be on the 2024 ballot. We've only got a few seconds here. So is there any way for me to be right about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would take, you know, an act of God, or maybe two acts of God in that case, or in one case, an act of the U.S. you know, Justice Department, perhaps.
That's possible.
I think Trump is running and will be the Republican nominee unless he physically or legally cannot. I think Biden will be the Democratic nominee in case he physically cannot. So I think, you know, it's not lost on me that a lot of people would like to see fresh faces, younger faces, different faces, and at least one of those two, if not two of those two, roles. But I think, you know, we should all gird our loins. This is likely to be Trump versus Biden round two. And, you know, my initial instinct is there's not a lot of people who voted one way in 2020 who have changed their mind and going to support the other person in 2024. So my initial instinct is that starts at least a little bit lean Biden. But listen, Biden's numbers aren't good for sure. So this is not a done deal. And for some of my Democratic friends who think that Trump is, you know, can't win, or because of these legal reasons, legal complications, that Trump is done, he's not done. You know, Trump very well could win this race. But my instinct a year out is that this is a little bit lean Biden. If you have anybody else other than Trump, I might say a little bit lean whoever the other Republican was. That's how I think about it here, roughly a year out.
So don't go to Vegas and bet on emotion is what you're telling me.
I think that's a wise advice.
Zach McCrary, thank you for joining us. Great stuff there, and very interesting commentary. We always appreciate you, Zach. We will be back after this break for a little bit more Right Side Radio on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Welcome back to Right Side Radio, and you're back just in time for us to say goodbye, to be honest with you. I want to thank our guests that we had today, Paul DeMarco, Jeff Poore from 1819 News, the editor-in-chief there, Brian Dawson, the CEO at 1819 News, joined us. And you just heard from Zach McCrary. Zach is a Democrat strategist. I love hearing his predictions on politics and the outcome of elections. He kind of sets back or sets aside his Democrat leanings when he starts predicting, because he's really a very pragmatic guy when he starts looking at the horizon. So I hope you enjoyed his input. I found it fascinating. I always do. And I will tell you that he is right a lot more often than he's wrong. So a good guy to follow, a good guy to keep an eye on. I thank all of you for joining us. I know you've got other options on your Friday afternoon, especially a beautiful one like we're having today, and for taking the time to listen to us. We appreciate that. Do have some late-breaking news. We don't know the details, but we do know that Donald Trump was just fined. I'm assuming that was for violating a gag order. In my opinion, placing a presidential candidate under a gag order is absurd anyway. So he'll do some fundraising letters, and he'll raise that fine in a heartbeat. The voters will cover that for him. That's it for Right Side Radio today. I enjoyed my day filling in for Phil. Phil will be back on Monday. Is that correct, Boomer?
That's right.
They'll have the regular voice back. So you stay around and listen in on Monday.
right side ruffians out there, you are